Hey, good morning, family. Are you here? I think you should be able to share your audio and video. We're going to hang out here for a few moments before we kind of get into song. So if you're here, share your video. Okay, let's see if you guys are coming on. Hospitality room. Hey, Rebecca. How are you? I am well. Let's see. Here's Nicole. Hey, Nicole. Hey, Lady Rochelle. Marvin. Hey, Marvin. How's the weekend going for? Well, I guess how did the Sunday morning start? Shaking your head and nodding. Okay, that's real. Okay, good. Let's see. Anybody else here that's watching want to jump on the screen and say hi or write hi in the chat? I think you have to say share your video and audio, and then you can hop on. Hey, Jonathan. Jonathan, you should be coming up. Okay, there you go.
I was just sure if you guys could see me.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Hey.
Morning, how are you guys?
Well, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. How's your weekend been so far? Yeah, cool.
How's everyone else's weekend been?
Good. Far. How's this coming week looking for you? Okay. Cool. Oh, who's that? Oh, okay. Melody. Hey, Mark Henry. Hey, Melody.
I said hi, and didn't realize I was muted. Good morning.
Melly, how's your weekend going? Good. Mark Henry, yours?
It's going well.
Yeah. So I have a opening scripture for us, an opening prayer, and we can do our love assault. Akui, are you coming? There you go. Okay. Hi. So this is the opening psalm. It's Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you so much for the opportunity to gather and worship in your name. God, we thank you for your mercies anew every morning. We thank you so much for your goodness towards us. We thank you for your abundant grace, dear Lord. We thank you that you are slow to anger. We thank you so much for allowing us to see another day, allowing us to collectively gather in this time of worship. God, I pray even now that you would be within every room, every residence, every home in the name of Jesus, that you would show up in a particular way, dear God, that you would make yourself known. As we are gathered here, we recognize that we are in need of you for all that we have gone through this past week and month, for all that we will face in the upcoming week and months. God, we need you to be God and God alone. So we invite you into our space. We ask for you to usher us in worship of you and help us to join together as community with one heart, with one mind, and one spirit, the Holy Spirit. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your name. We don't have to go underground. We don't have to hide out, but we have the opportunity to live and proclaim our faith and love to you. We thank you so much for today. Do through us and among us and for us all that you purpose to do. And God, we pray that even as we continue today, that as we interact in our other relationships and our other spaces, people will look upon us and say, they spent time with Jesus. We thank you for all things. Have your will, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I invite you, now this might be redundant, you could tell me later, but I invite you to do Love Assault, which is to go to what's called networking, and just have brief conversations. Check in with each other. Feel free to fill in the blank that what I am most grateful for this past week is, or what I'm most grateful for this past week was, however you want to phrase it. And maybe between two or four people, and then we'll meet back at the main stage, as it's called, and we'll enter into our time of song and the ministry of the word. So we'll go there at, I think 11:20, we meet back there. So See ya.
want me to connect with because you're not connecting. Oh. And there's eight people. Uh-uh. I was sitting there ready and no one was coming. It's you.
Yes.
You were supposed to be meeting Daddy, but Daddy doesn't come. That's what happened. Have a seat on the couch.
Welcome, family. Welcome. As you come back from our love assault time. Amen. Amen. Come on back in. Let us know in the chat that you are back. We are in the stage chat right now. Come on in, come on in. Yes, Melody is here. Hello, Melody. Amen. Rebecca's back. All right. All right, let's see. All right, Aquia is back. Okay, we're doing well. Trying to make sure we didn't lose anybody in a love assault. All right. Marvin is back. Good, good. Hello. All right. Mark Henry is here. Good. Amen. All right. Jonathan is here. All right. So I'm going to invite Lady Rochelle to come forward and just lead us in a time of worship through song. Amen.
Amen. I know. I was looking for you too, Rebecca. I said, oh, Rebecca's probably going to be our next person, but that's okay. I got to see you a little earlier. So we're going to start out our time of worship and song this morning in Psalm 27. And as I read it, I encourage you to think about and when you feel ready or comfortable, just pop in the chat the response to the following. And if somebody could type the prompt, that would be great. I feel blank. But/and God is my blank. So I feel blank, but/and God is my blank. And I, over the past months, have just been reflecting on the juxtapositions of how I feel in response to various things that are happening in my personal life, in our family, in the world, and wanting to focus on what I know to be true about God rather than focusing on what I'm seeing or even what I'm feeling, you know, acknowledging the feelings, but then bringing myself back to God and his character and his word. And so as I read this psalm, just continue to think. And if you put one in, you can put more in. Thank you, Melody, for popping that in the chat. You know, just as they come, type them on in there. And then as we praise God with our song this morning, you know, just keep that in mind and remembering not only the things that we feel and that we see happening around us, but the truth of God and the truth of his word. So Psalm 27, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked one came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And even as we begin to sing this morning, just pop in the chat. I feel blank, but / and God is my blank. Sing it out right where you are. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. He's the Lamb above all. And these words. strength like no other reaches to me. You are my great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Let's sing that again, just to him. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to
certainly he is a great God and a gracious God. There is no one like him. We thank God so much just for who he is. And I agree that he is our peace. And he certainly is great. He's the wheel in the middle of a wheel. We thank him for his goodness and his mercy. God, we thank you for who you are in this place. We thank you that you are yet a living God, still seated on your throne. And we pray that you would have your will and have your way with us. Refresh us in your presence, dear Lord. Be our strength, even now in Jesus' name. We offer up not just a moment of worship to you, but a life of worship dedicated to who you are. Show off in our lives to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Lady Rochelle family. Thank you for this time of worship through song. We are going to enter into the ministry of the word, and we are continuing the third and final installment in our series, So Shall I Walk. So Shall I Walk. And we've been talking about walking in God's love, walking in God's light, and today, walking in God's wisdom. If you have your Bibles, we're going to begin with the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And this is a book that the Apostle Paul has written to the believers, and it's thought that this was a circular letter that traveled around Asia Minor, and the predominant major city in that region being Ephesus. And Paul is giving instructions on how to live. And we come to this place where he's said to them, you know, imitate Christ and walk in his love. And then he says to walk as light. And here he talks about walking in God's wisdom. So Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15, in the New King James translation, we find these words. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And the Christian Standard Bible says it in these words, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And for our time together, I want to speak briefly from the theme, time well spent. Time well spent. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to enter into your word. Guide us, Lord. Give us direction. Give us your vision, your truth, your understanding of who you are and who we are in you. God, let us leave here changed, looking more like you. Quiet me, sit me down. But God, you stand up and show yourself and speak to us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It is no secret to many of us that we are living during challenging times. Challenging times because of one's internal battle. The Apostle Paul described it this way in his letter, Romans 7:19, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. And the times are challenging also because of the world around us. In our opening text, the Apostle Paul references the current time, saying the days are evil. It was and it is the present age. The present age, as opposed to the coming age when Jesus will return and vanquish evil. Paul says the days are evil. Paul wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. But it's the words that are penned by the prophet Isaiah that ring familiar to my mind today. In Isaiah 54, beginning at verse 14, or only verse 14, we find these words, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. As I think about Sister Breonna Taylor, that justice for her has yet to come, the Apostle Paul's words come back to me, the days are evil. The present age is characterized by disobedience, the corrupting influence of Satan. Well, brothers and sisters, what do we do? Paul instructs the church body in Ephesus to walk in God's love, to walk in God's light, and yes, to walk in God's wisdom. In Ephesians 5:15, Paul says, with thoughtful intention, live as wise people, not foolish people, reclaiming time because the days in which we live are morally bad. He says, making the most of today or taking advantage of the present time. To do so is to use God's wisdom. Wisdom is the seized opportunity to live life differently. It is the seized opportunity to do life differently according to a knowledge base that one has. Wisdom that pleases God and leads to life is based on, is drawn from the knowledge of God. For instance, an example of worldly wisdom and wisdom and understanding that comes from God can be seen in what Jesus said in Matthew 5:43. He said, "You heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." And he goes on, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." God, through Jesus, gave us a blueprint for how to live counterculturally from the world in which we are in. God's will is to bring all of creation under the authority of Christ. In Ephesians 1, verse 9, Paul tells the believers, "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself," here it is, "that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him." God's will is to bring everything, all of creation, under the authority of Christ. We can look at Jesus as our example of how to live wisely in a way that redeems time for God's purposes. You know what? Well, how did Jesus walk in wisdom? Jesus learned, Jesus gained and applied truth over worldly wisdom. Jesus did what most had value to God and what had value to his relationship with God. Jesus took time to rest. He took time to pray. He chose to be obedient to God's will. Jesus empowered those around him by speaking life and truth. He said, "Peter, thou art the rock." Jesus resisted a popularity contest, recognizing that God is the final judge. Jesus didn't allow what others thought of him and what he should do to persuade him from walking in God's perfect will. Let's consider this particular account of Jesus. It might be familiar to you. It is in the book of John, chapter 9, beginning at verse 7. And we find these words. "Now, as Jesus passed by," so this was a time where Jesus was out in the open. And in fact, the religious leaders were picking up stones to throw him and to throw at him and stone him. And Jesus escaped from that. And the following verse talks about, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him.'" Verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Verse 6, when Jesus had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And Jesus said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Indeed, a miracle had taken place. Later on, the man who was healed would say in John chapter 9, verse 32, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Family, I have a question for you today. What opportunities today are present for God to reveal himself in you? What opportunities does today present for God to reveal himself in your situation? What opportunities does today present for God to reveal himself in situations surrounding you? If you were to look up and look around, where you are right now, are there any candidates for a miracle from God? Now, I know redeeming the time is not all about miracles. It's about right living during times of so much wrong. But this morning, I want to stretch you. I want to challenge you to bring the most from God out of this present age. Now, how does this all happen? How do you find these opportunities? How do you create these opportunities? How do you enable these opportunities? How do you live into these opportunities? How do you receive these opportunities for God to reveal himself? How does this all happen? It should be understood that when God reveals himself, there is a permanent shift. There is a shift that cannot be gone back on. The man who was born blind said in John 9:25, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. And some of you might be able to attest today that God has done some things in your life that has just cemented to you who he is. And no matter what anybody else says, you know that God is God in your life. There are times where he's kept you and you are able to say, I know he is a keeper. There's times where God has restored your mental health and you're able to say, I know he is a God of peace. I know he is a God of joy. I know he is a God because he snatched me out of the car wreck. I know he is a God because he made a way where there seemed to be no way. I know he is a God because he has provided provision where there was no provision. I know he is a God because when situations look like they were out of control, God stepped in and took control, and now your perspective is forever shifted because God showed up and he revealed himself in a particular way to you. And in this story, in this text, we have several types of characters. We have participants in God's will. We have the witnesses to God's will, and we have those who are unaware of what is going on. And beloved, I want you to know that we can either participate in what God does, we can witness what God does, or we can be unaware of what God does, and we just see the aftermath and we are left wondering, is it God? Now let's just talk about participation today. When you are in need of the miracle, when you are in need of the miracle, obey what God tells you. We're looking at the man who was born blind. Now, I recognize that in me saying to you to obey what God tells you, I recognize that you can only obey the word that you know. And so it is imperative that we walk with God's Spirit so that we can know God's truth. To walk with God's Spirit through God's Word. And to walk with God's Spirit through your world. Let the divine guide be your daily guide. This reminds me of a line in Sister Tasha Cobb's song, "There is a miracle in this room with my name on it." When there is a divine need, not in you per se, or for you, but when there is a divine need around you, ask the next question. If we were to look at the opening text, we see that the disciples who were with Jesus, they asked the first question. The first question was, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? One thing that I recognize is that the first question is the obvious question. And it will be the next question that makes room for God. In this moment, the disciples are just the witness to what God is about to do. Because while they ask the initial question, they fail to be curious enough to ask the next question. Asking the next question requires a shift in perspective. It requires a bold understanding that declares if God knew something about this situation, then he would do something about this situation. I liken it to Mary and Martha when they sent word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus, Jesus' friend, was sick. Martha and Mary sent word in my mind because the sisters thought that Jesus did not know, that Jesus must not have known, and they informed Jesus thinking that certainly the shift would come in the outcome. Have you ever come to a situation in life? Have you ever come to a moment in life where you found yourself telling God about it? Where you found yourself informing God of what's going on, how it's going down, and how it's happening to you and how it feels? Perhaps thinking that God doesn't know about what is going on. That God can't know about this, because if God knew about this, then surely God would do something about this. Because this hurts. This is not what I had in mind. This was not a part of the plan. This was not a part of the picture you gave me for what it was going to take to go this path. God, this is not what I signed up for. This must be a mistake. God, I knew that you said that you would never leave me nor forsake me. But right now it feels like that you are nowhere to be seen. God, it feels like that you are not aware of the situation going on. God, this loss hurts. This situation is too hard for me to bear. God, I thought that you called me to this program. I thought you called me to this location. I thought you called me to this relationship. I thought you called me to this practice. But right now, this is something that is happening and it doesn't feel good. And God, I'm just going to tell you about it in case you are wondering what's going on. Because God, certainly you can't know what's happening, because if you knew what was happening, you would step in and you would change the situation. And then there was a shift in Martha and Mary. Martha stepped into the situation and she said in John 11, in chapter 11, verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But here's the shift that Martha introduced. "But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." When faced with a situation, when you have done all that you can do, are you inviting God to do what only he can do? I know that some of you are in a situation right now, and some of us are experiencing challenging times, and you are doing all that you can do. And I'm asking you, are you also inviting God into the situation to do what only God can do? It is in these moments that God himself sets himself apart and he introduces himself to you and he introduces himself to those around you. When we ask the next question, we draw attention from what is and what was, and we redirect attention to what could be. We invite an expectancy, a curiosity, an anticipation, setting the stage for God because all eyes are off of mankind and are open for, they are looking for, they are asking for a change for God to step in. When there is a divine need around you, I encourage you to be the vessel through whom God may choose to work. Now we're talking about Jesus. Now Jesus empowers us to be the vessel. In Matthew 10:8, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And in Acts 1:8, we might be familiar with this, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We have the opportunity to be participants in what God wants to do. Remember, redeeming the time is an opportunity for more light. Redeeming the time is an opportunity for more love. Redeeming the time is an opportunity where living wisely brings these opportunities forward. Family, I encourage you on today that as you go through what you're going through, that when the situation involves you and you need God to show up, ask the next question. Invite God to come into your situation and just clarify, God, is this what you had in mind? Or is there something else you would like to do? I'm at the end of my rope, and this is a perfect opportunity for you to show yourself strong. I am weak, make your strength perfect. In this moment and day in which we live, where there is so much going on around us, don't just state the obvious in asking the initial question about what is and what was. Also take the next step and participate in God and what God wants to do by asking the next question. God, what is it that you want to do about the situation that's happening around me? How do you want me to participate? God, I can hold an expectancy and I can create emotional space and mental space and spiritual space and at times physical space for you to show up and do what only you can do. Redeem the time by walking wisely in what God is showing you and telling you that He is God alone. And He desires for everything, everything that is created to be up under His Son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to walk this walk. We thank you so much for the opportunity to not just be witnesses of what you are doing in the earth, but to participate by inviting you to do what only God can do. Sure, it takes a little bit more time for us to pause and not just acknowledge a situation, but invite you into a situation. But God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would give us the awareness to stop and say, God, I see what it is, but I recognize that this doesn't have to be. Please change and do what only you can do. God, I thank you so much for the believers who are under the sound of my voice. God, I thank you for those who are yet to believe. Maybe they are like the man who was born blind and they just received a touch from you. God, help them to see fully who you are and their life will never be the same again. We thank you. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right now, we're going to invite Lady Rochelle just to lead us in our closing song, We've Come This Far by Faith, Leaning on the Lord. Thank you so much.
Family, as we close out in our usual fashion by singing This Far by Faith, our tradition here at BK. Just wanted to share a couple of announcements. Weekly events as usual. So The Well on Wednesday, 9 p.m. and Women's Group on Saturday, 2 p.m. Bible study to be announced. There probably will be a new time this week, so be on the lookout for that. And next Saturday, which is October 3rd, 8 p.m., we will be having a BK family meeting, a time for us all to come together and just see how folks are doing. Just check in, just talk, and just be together. So put that on your calendar, reserve the space for it, move things around if you need to. We really want everyone to be there so that we can reconnect as a body together. Amen? We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed.
God, we thank you so much for this time together. Lord, do for your people, do in this world, do in this nation, all that you purpose to do. We need you right now. God, we need your miracles. We need you to redeem the time. I pray that you would do for everyone under the sound of my voice all that you have done for me. You are such a faithful God, able to bring us all the way through. God, be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Family, we thank you so much for our time together today. Immediately after this, you can go to one of the brunch tables and hang out there. If you want to get your lunch, you can. Between now and 1 p.m., we'll be there. God bless you. God bless you. I love you so very much. God go with you this week. Until we meet again. Amen. Thank you, Lord.